We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier filling in for Christian Garrick along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, before we get Deuce on, you got something to kick in.
Well, this could be the key against the Broncos. You want to know why they're 4-6?
I've seen their quarterback play.
Okay, but the quarterback play, but this is unbelievable. They are a minus 13 in the turnover margin. Mike, that's like dead last. Okay, we all know one before last, dead last. They are minus 13. Now, we were plus one for the game against Atlanta. Now we plus five for the season. We are seventh. You know, you want to be top 10. But listen, all we got to do is go on the road in Denver, take care of the football, or take it away and be on the plus side. That is ridiculous. I can tell Vic Fangio, that's driving him crazy.
No, Bob,
because he coached outside linebackers in a dome patrol.
I think a lot of Drew Lock. I think he's a very talented guy, but he takes a lot of chances throwing the football.
Guess where he's at?
Seven touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
And Mike, you look at the whole quarterback room, they are dead last. They've had 17 passes intercepted. They're also 32nd in that category.
tells you the story.
So you throw in there, you wonder why they're minus 13? Giveaways. Guess what? They dead last. So they're fumbling the ball, and they throw an interception. They had 23 giveaways. So then I protected the football. They minus 13. So when I just saw that, it doesn't matter how you win. You know, you could go, you know, in the second quarter, you're breathing like, God, I'm playing in mile high. Like Sean Payton said, we can't go 10 days early because of COVID to get acclimated to
the climate.
To the climate. The air and all that. And you're like thinking, because Mike, you could be in shape. I'll never forget this. Playing in the championship game in 1983, Mile High Stadium. We were there a whole week. And you think I'm starting to get acclimated. I remember I ran a couple of times. I did something. It was the middle of the second quarter. I was like, I said, what? I said, man, I hope I catch my second win. And it's amazing the second half. Somehow it just clicked. How the ball traveled, you could throw it further. You could kick it further. But that's going to be the key. If the Saints are on the plus side, there's no way they lose to the Broncos. Because the Broncos give it away.
The other thing, too, is how well you block the front seven. Because the back end for the Broncos have played pretty good in secondary. Their front seven has gotten a pretty good pass rush.
Now, what's the status of Von Miller? He's out, right?
Right. So they got Bradley Chubb, yeah, who has been a really good football player, and then Malik Reed, who was an undrafted free agent, and man, he comes in here from Nevada, and he is putting on sort of one of these Shaquille Barrett moments, where he's got 6.5 sacks over the last couple games. So that's going to be the key. And you know Vic and the way he is and how he operates to try to get pressure on the quarterback. And he does it, he's a master of it to try to fool you that way. But he got to get better play from his offense.
If I was Dennis Allen and the whole staff, I would challenge our defense. Don't rest on your laurels. Go out there and dominate the Broncos. I'm talking about dominate them. Because I'm telling you, I think the Broncos defense, it's going to be a challenge for the Saints offense. I'm just telling you, I think the Broncos, because they're big fans, you know, they can hang, whether you're scoring in the teens or the 20s. But there's no reason, what we've done lately, and how dominant. Mike, we've given up one touchdown the last 12 quarters. That we shouldn't have that kind of success against Denver.
I agree.
Just go a pedal to the metal.
I think it'll be a different story on defense than against Atlanta. That's just what I'm saying. I think right. Offense. I think Denver's going to struggle, but I think defensively, they're better team.
Oh yeah, Denver's way better than the Falcons.
We'll bring in Deuce McAllister. Deuce, you heard the conversation we having. Your thoughts early on about the Broncos and what you've seen.
I think the biggest thing when you talk about the Broncos, if they have the ability to run the football, you look at what Phillip Lindsay has been able to do, and you talk about what Melvin Gordon has been able to do. And I think, Bobby, I agree with both of you guys. You know, Drew Locke is still finding himself as far as a quarterback. He was really like that at Missouri
exactly.
As far as a gunslinger. And when I said finding himself, you got to understand when I can take my shot and when I can say, hey, look, I'm going to take the 4 yards, 5 yards, live to see another play. You love a quarterback that trusts his arm strength because there is not a pass that he doesn't like. But you have to understand the situation as well. Every throw can't be a 50-50 throw. Does that make sense, Bobby?
The thing is 50-50 throw. You can't just like a hope and a prayer. That's not good football.
That's what I'm saying. And so at times I think that's what his mentality is because there's not a deep throw or a tight window that he doesn't like.
He can throw. He can do it.
He says, screw it, I'm taking a chance.
Yeah. You can't take a chance when there's an easier throw that's going to produce yards for you and you can live to see the next down. I mean, and
amen.
I think too many situations, he's end up on the other side of that where it's like, all right, it's first and 10. It may be a 7-3 game, and we're still in this game. And instead of just taking a shot where not only does the corner have good coverage, well, the safety's rotating over the top as well. I mean, and it's like, well, I can just take the check down, and maybe, you know, we can pick up a first down. There's too many opportunities or too many chances that you see him just taking a chance. I like him as a player.
Yeah,
I think he can be a really good quarterback in this league. But, Bobby, I agree with you. The turnovers are an issue with them. You know, the turnovers are a problem, and they're 32nd.
They didn't expand the league. You're dead last. Deuce, I'm looking at this. You know how we getting after the quarterback as of late? We're third in sacks with 32. Well, they're in the top 10. They have 28. But, you know, it's going to be more challenge, I think, for offense. They're top 10 third down defense, only giving up basically 38% conversion. And then this caught my eyes.
Look who the head coach is, though, Bobby.
Vic Fangio.
That's what he does.
Right.
I mean, and so he has built or he is building that team where my defense will be good enough. You know, the version of where he came from in Chicago.
The Bears,
my defense will be good enough to keep us in the games. My offense just can't lose it. And when you go back and you look at the work that Elway and those guys did this past offseason as far as the draft, it was pretty much offense heavy. I mean, you look at Judy and some of the other weapons that they got, Drew Locke. I mean, it's amazing some of those weapons that they have, but I think that they are just – they're putting the defense in a unique situation. It's a bad situation, basically, where, you know, it's too many plays out there. And then they've been unfortunate with injuries. Last year it was Chubb. This year.
And Von Miller continues the injuries.
This year it's Von Miller. And so, you know, the two superstars that you wanted to pair as far as bookie and rushers, they really hadn't gotten a lot of time together because both of those guys have been hurt.
Now, you know, Deuce, I'm looking at this also to be a challenge for Sean Payton and Taysom Hill. Is obviously, can you get in the end zone? This caught my attention. Red zone, they're the number two red zone defense in the NFL. Like you talk about Vic Fangio, they're only giving up like 48%, touchdown ratio, so 48.5%. So bottom line is that you can get in the red zone. They force a lot of field goals. Now, the bottom line, you turn over the ball, you end up losing. But I know that'd be a challenge that Sean Payton would, accept. is that, come on, we get in the red zone, whether we throw it or we run it, we gotta get touchdowns, not settle for field goals.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, you go back and you look last week, they went with the quarterback. They finally went with the quarterback power down there in the red zone. That first drive that they had, they end up selling for a field goal when you got in the red zone, kind of stalled a little bit. But, you know, what happens really also, you have to remember, in the red zone is where Taysom Hill was always a factor at the other positions. Some at quarterback, right. And we saw them run him as far as a runner at quarterback. But it was when he would come in and he would be that H guy or he would be the wide receiver. And we saw them run the bully screen. Well, the Saints didn't execute the bully screen, you know, to Mike Thomas right there in the end zone. We left a guy free, and he was able to be able to hit Mike as soon as he caught the football. You know, and there are just some little things that you got to be able to execute because the field, the field tightens up. And so if it's not perfect, you can recover a lot quicker as far as defense is concerned, particularly when you're talking about being in the red zone and trying to score 7 versus 3.
Guys, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back with more here on Sports Talk. Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelia will be back right here on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Deuce McAllister. Deuce, I'm going to get off the subject of the Saints for a little while and get your thoughts on this. A couple weeks ago, I'm watching Matt Corral with Ole Miss just absolutely torch South Carolina. And then this week, I got to watch JT Daniels at Georgia. A year ago, both those guys, we do in Sports Talk in the end zone at Nicholls State, Christian and I. And these two guys are flinging it. And I mean, that ball's coming out left and right. And I remember Archie pulls around with the golf cart and he says, guys, I think we're looking at some future NFL players here. Your thoughts on, man, how well Matt has played this year and redemption too for Elijah after what happened in the Egg Bowl last year. Him being able to come back, he's having a great season for Ole Miss. But, man, to watch Matt Corral and then this past Saturday, watching JT come back from the serious knee injury, he was a really good football player at USC, gets hurt. And a guy that took his place is pretty doggone good, too, now. But, man, I think JT Daniels is going to change the trajectory to Georgia. It won't be in 2020, but 2021. Man, but your thoughts on
Deuce, do y'all think it's like Justin Fields at Ohio State?
Bobby, here's the thing with Justin Fields. Justin Fields will be a top five pick.
Yeah,
I think that's this upcoming year.
He may be a top two pick.
Yeah, quarterbacks. There's always a premium on those guys. I was just being nice because we hadn't dove all the way into that conversation, but. Here's what's interesting about Matt Corral, and even with Elijah Moore, if the incident doesn't happen with Elijah Moore, Ole Miss doesn't get Lane Kiffin. They don't make the switch.
Whoa.
They don't make the switch as far as a head coach. And look, Matt Luke, that was my center, so I love him to death. So, you know, trust me, there's no ill will, and I love everything that Matt did for the university, and I know where he stands with the university. But if that incident does not happen, Ole Miss doesn't make the switch. So you're talking about Matt Corral, a quarterback that 9 times out of 10 is going to transfer.
Yep.
Because John Rhys Plumlee was the quarterback that, remind you, ran for over 1,000 yards last year. John Rhys Plumlee probably has played, let's just – maybe 30 plays, you know, maybe 40 plays the whole year as far as been involved offensively. Lane Kiffin's offense and Jeff Levy's offense fit what Matt Corral wants to do. Now, he's improved as far as a downfield passer is concerned, and particularly with accuracy and intermediate throws. And the biggest thing that has always been the issue with him, even coming out of California, was his decision making.
Right.
He's doing a better job as far as decision making is going. I think that Ole Miss will have him for one more year, and then he will be declaring for the NFL. I do think that Elijah Moore will declare after this year, and you know, I think he's ready for the NFL. I mean, he's a Florida kid. He trains with a lot of guys as far as the NFL is concerned, and you know, he may not be a first rounder, but I think that he is probably a second rounder, a third rounder as far as a slot receiver, just because of his size. And then you talk about JT Daniels. JT Daniels was a guy that did transfer.
Yes.
And it was because he was injured and he saw the success that their quarterback had had, the guy that had replaced him. And the only reason he really didn't play early, because if you remember.
Is his knee.
It was his knee, and he was not 100% healthy. But you remember it was a transfer quarterback that came to Georgia that opted out, who is going to be probably a late first rounder this year. I think it was
Newman.
Wake
he went
Forest.
To he yeah, went Newman. To Wake Forest and he opted
Wake
out.
Forest. Yeah, he opted out because of COVID. He was going to be the starting quarterback. And so, you know, Georgia never really had a quarterback until JT steps into the fray. And, you know, a ton of talent at Georgia. I just think it's too late for them to be able to do something.
Right.
But it's interesting when you talk about those two quarterbacks, Bobby, both of those guys, you know, I still need to see Matt show some improvement. But I think JT Daniels, just because of what he did at SC and over at Georgia, I think both of those, particularly JT Daniels, will be a first rounder. I think Matt Corral will have to continue to show that he has what it takes to be able to work his way into the first round.
But that, man, they got a tight end too. You talk about, man, getting a little bit lucky there. You got a drag transfer tight end who's going
from
to
Temple.
The Senior Bowl. Man, and that he is prototypical NFL tight end size, and he can catch the football.
Yep. His deal is concentration, maybe a lack of focus a little bit. You know, and you talk about, well, he's not a blocker. You can work on it. You can hide
I can
him
get
as
in
far
the way.
As blocking. Yeah, you can hide him as far as blocking is concerned. What he does as far as being able to flex out and being able to create one-on-ones, you know, that's what you like about him.
Now, Deuce, I want to go back to the Saints and a couple of questions here. Boy, and it's amazing. At the beginning of the season, we've got, man, we got too many damn penalties, 9 or more, 100 yards, and we can't do that. But it seems as of late, we've addressed that. I mean, we talked to Coach Payton about it. Like, for instance, we had 5 penalties for 35 yards. I mean, who couldn't live with that? I think we all could. And we kind of in the middle of the pack. Well, we were at the bottom of the NFL. Now we kind of in the middle of the road. So I think we can live with that. I want you to comment on the penalties there and the discipline. But the one area that has been outstanding throughout the year, and it's going to be like that against the Broncos, we kick ass on special teams. I would be shocked if we don't win on special teams. And what I mean by that, kickoff and punt return, and then kickoff and punt coverage. For instance, punt return, we number 6. You know, punt return average against, we number 1. Kickoff return, we 7th. Kickoff return average against, we 3rd. So we're like top 5 or top 10 in every category. The Dolphins are up there, but we don't play them. But it's amazing how you want to win all these different special teams. I would be surprised if we don't win the special teams aspect of the game week in and week out.
Well, here's the thing, Bobby. We know those numbers this weekend, they're going to be inflated a little bit as far as the kicking game is concerned, just because of the thin air. So the punters will love it. I don't know how much. And Deontay Harris, he missed practice today with a neck injury. I think it was started as a shoulder or stinger issue during the game, and he's dealing with a neck injury, so he didn't practice today. Marquez Callaway stepped in and, you know, handled the kicking return duties.
And it
well
looks like
–
now, Deuce, how about Andres Pete? He got a concussion. It's thin air. He's not playing. He
didn't practice today. So, I mean, you still never know with those concussions. You know, maybe it's normally limited, and then you'd be able to come through. But, you know, if he's has to step out and miss that game, you know, you can look for the Saints to kind of do what they did last week and put Nick Easton over at left guard.
He's been outstanding. The Deuce, don't you agree, plug and play? I mean, come on. Yeah, he's been very versatile.
It's tough to do what he was doing, because the Saints used him on the third series. He and Caesar were rotating, or at least, you know, maybe going to rotate every 3 series, but Andres got hurt in between that rotation. So he goes from right guard over to left guard, and it was like, okay, I'm ready, you know. And so he continues to play at that spot the whole time. But, Bobby, when you talk about just the special teams aspect of it, the Saints have been really, really good. And I expect at some point, I know today it was Sheldon Rankins that was designated to return, so his 21-day clock starts as far as return is concerned. But I expect at some point you got to get Justin Hardy back, you know, who's missed a couple weeks. And who's the best of the best? Yeah, he should be available to help you out as far as special teams is concerned, because those guys, whether it's JT Gray, you know, being able to cover, you talk about, okay, so Taysom Hill comes off. Even in early warm-ups, he was still the up back in punt. That became Ty Montgomery. You know, and you still have other guys. Chase Hansen was a guy that was inactive, I know, but he's a guy that, you know, they look at highly.
Zach Bond? How about Zach Bond?
Well, no, I'm just saying as far as special teams, okay. Zach is making plays.
Zach
is making plays for you on special teams, but you can really see those linebackers. Hey, look, this is what we need. You know, Craig Robinson, Zach Bond, and some of those safeties. Those are all core guys as far as special teams are concerned. And you know, you look for them guys to have to make plays for you.
You know, Deuce, I'm looking at Justin Hardy. He still leads the team. He has six special teams tackles. He's still the top dog. And he hasn't been available. You know, another guy that we count on defense and special teams is P.J. Williams. He also is playing at a high level in special teams with three total tackles. I mentioned Zach Bond with four. I'm looking at J.T. Gray. I mean, that was almost an upgrade for Mississippi State when we got him instead of Chris Banjo. Then you mentioned Craig Robinson. No, it's amazing. And then you even look at Caden Ellis throughout the season. How he's produced. Listen, I don't know what Sean Payton has done, but the one thing I know right now, I'd be shocked if we don't win on special teams. I think our coaches and our players have done that great of a job.
Well, normally you talk about at least picking up an extra first down for your offense, and then you talk about, and that helps your starting field position. And then, Bobby, you talk about being able to normally say, hey, look, we're going to have at least maybe 3 points, 6 points advantage just because of
right. Hidden
yardage that we pick up, you know, because instead of having to start at the 25, we're starting at the 35 or 40, and then Deontay Harris, he hits a punt or two, and so, you know, you pick up maybe 50 yards or 60 yards per half. That's a big difference. I mean, that is a big difference for any team, and then you talk particularly with a team that doesn't have their starting quarterback.
Deuce, I just want to pass this along. The Cowboys strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, who actually got his start here as a strength and conditioning coach under Mike Ditka, has passed away.
The
Cowboys.
I know Marcus Paul. He just passed away, too.
Just passed away. He had an incident yesterday at the Cowboys facilities and was brought in, 54 years old. He's been part of five Super Bowl championship teams with the Bears and the Patriots, the Jets, the Giants. But in the final 2 years of Mike, he was here as an assistant strength and conditioning coach. Marcus Paul, 54 years old, passed away. The Cowboys have just announced that. So 2020, again, we talked about Ruffin earlier in the show.
No, 54 years of age. Deuce, I turned 60 in August. I'm starting to sweat right now. No, it's a shame. It's like I'm like in shock when Mike told me about Ruffin Rodrigue and then now Marcus Paul.
Yeah.
You know, when you know someone and it's personal, then it's almost you got to slap yourself in the face like, what? It's like, whoa, that's –
That's mighty
prayers go out to their families.
Yeah, absolutely. So our heart and prayers, again, go out to Marcus Paul and his family. And, again, he had a two-year run here with Mike where he was the assistant strength and conditioning coach. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 with Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelia right after this break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia filling in for Christian Garrick, along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert and Deuce McAllister. He was on our WhoDatLending.com and talk and text line. Deuce, one of the things sometimes that doesn't get looked at is the position coaches on a football team. And, you know, man, I watch Ryan Nielsen because, you know, he does a lot of our camps on the Bayou. He'll come and do Louisiana line camp and, man, he's just so engaged with his players. but it's his ability, I think, to take a player and get the very best out of him. And I think Ryan, you know, who played for Coach O at USC, and so he's, you know, Coach O is one of his mentors along with Pete Jenkins. That, man, what he's been able to do with this defensive line, I think has sort of flown under the radar of how good of a defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen is.
Mike, Sean Payton and the Saints will have to – they will have some choices and decisions to make in the not-too-distant future.
I think so. That's why I brought it up.
I'll put it like that. You know, we'll enjoy what we have right now. But and look, the NFL changes every day. It changes year in, year out. The Saints have been fortunate as far as with their staff. You know, you talk about losing your linebacker coach who became the defensive coordinator, Coach Nolan, last year. But for the most part, that staff has been together. But trust me, they will have some choices and decisions to make in the not-too-distant futures on some of their coaches. And, you know, you look at what D.A. has been able to do. Dennis Allen, I think his name will be in the conversation for some head coaching jobs. And then, you know, I don't think it's just this past year with Ryan Nielsen, but, I mean, really the last 2 years, 3 years of what he has done with that defensive line to be able to raise their level of play. And I know that job, it takes seven guys as far as really every all 11 when you talk about stopping the run. But, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if some teams aren't interviewing or at least trying to interview him for a defensive coordinator gig.
The other thing, too, is I think he may get a bite as a college head coach. I know Coach O had told me, Mike, Ryan Nielsen can recruit. He said, man, I'm just telling you, he is a big-time recruiter.
You look at some of the defensive linemen.
From NC State.
Bradley Chubb, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, but there were at least four defensive linemen that he recruited that got drafted. I think it was 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, but it was Kentavious Streets. One. Kentavious Streets was one. Bradley Chubb was one, and all these guys were on the same defensive line. I mean, they were all on the same defensive line together. And so you talk about recruiting, and then you talk about being able to develop players. That doesn't happen by accident, and so it's been able to carry over. And you know, you talk about Sean Payton when he has to replace or he's looking at to bring in a coach. He's looking for somebody that can teach. And so many times, often in the NFL, that's the aspect that is really, truly lost. Because when you draft a kid or you bring a young man in, coach, what can you show me? What can you tell me? How can you improve my game? And I think that's the biggest thing that a good player wants out of a coach in the NFL. You know, it's one thing to be able to just hand me a playbook or a tablet, and you know, we can go through and look at the plays, and I can read them, I can see them. That's fine. But can you teach me anything about my game? How can you improve me? How can you challenge me? And I think that's the one thing that Ryan does a really good job, and not just verbal as far as the communicating skills, but being able to understand what guys needs to see it, what guys needs this rep, you know, just understanding each individual player. And so, you know, I think that's lost a lot of times in the NFL that, you know, you Bobby, I'm going to throw you this playbook. Let's know what to do at 11:30 when we go out to practice.
What now? That went over my head.
Well, you did it. It was like a pop fly.
So, 11:30, like what?
Yeah, we got practice at 11:30. Here go the plays right here.
No. Can you be in that meeting room, and then all of a sudden you put on your pass? Can you go? Can you transfer when you learn in the meeting on the field? That's when you know who the smart players are, and you don't have to. I just told you what to do, and then you know you got. But some guys you got to say more than one times, and some guys get it. No, that's amazing.
You know the crazy part about Ryan, and he had four players drafted. He recruited. He had a fifth, and he missed him. But he's with the Saints. Shy Tuttle, He's a North Carolina guy that went to Tennessee. He missed out on him.
Well, could I have 1 minute with Deuce right here, Mark? We go out here in that music. But let me tell you.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you, Deuce, what I like right now, where he had defensively, and I'm looking at it. Okay, net yards per game, we're number three. Yards per play, which is significant, we're number four in the NFL. Points per game, we're number eight. Net rushing yards, we all know that it's always been great. We're number two. But the one thing when I look at right now, third down dominance. If you look at in the past four games, we're allowing only 27.8% on third down. What? If we do that, hey, we're going to win the damn Super Bowl. I can tell you right now, if we give up 27% on third down, we're winning, Deuce, no matter who we're playing.
Third down and goal to goal has been improvement out like none other. The other thing you talked about were the penalties. Us and the Broncos, we have the same amount of penalties. We have 56. Yeah. They have 56. We just have 170 plus more yards. But we got to catch back up as far as yardage is concerned. All right, appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deuce.
All right,
happy
Deuce.
Thanksgiving to
all
you, buddy. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.